like I'm scrolling, you know, and I just see Kid Rock. He was like, Kid Rock's like, they're just throwing it in our face. Everybody's bi now or something. I'm like,
yeah. Grimace is asexual now.
Yeah.
Can you fucking believe it?
Who gives a shit?
He was fucking so much before.
Yeah.
Maybe he fucked too much.
Yeah. The chemically castrated Grimace.
The fry guys are like an item. It's just so fucking unfair.
The Hamburglar's Polly.
He needs to support that expensive habit.
Everyone, we're dedicating this week's show to all of our patrons because really there shouldn't be a show this week. I've had a hell of a time. We've had a hell of a time getting guests, but we have a big slate for you after this. But today we're just going to riff. We're in the shadow of Rockford Tower. We're behind enemy lines. We're in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast. This is Rob. This is your Highland Smoker podcast. Before we begin, I want to do some thank yous. Some of you may know, if you know me, my sort of Achilles heel, quote unquote, is my eyes, my vision. I can't hide it. It's slapped all over my Chevy Chase. I got back from New Orleans and my eyeball fell apart. This is dedicated to Dr. Brian Toussaint, who put my eyeball back together on Tuesday. Thank you, Dr. Toussaint. And it's also dedicated to our patrons, as I said. We just wanted to make sure we gave some kind of entertainment to you all for supporting the program. In the studio tonight is senior legal correspondent Bill Martin.
Good evening, comrades and friends.
And super producer Carl Stomberg.
Hello.
So what was going on last week when I was in New Orleans? Was anything good going on? I tried to shut my phone off, but I noticed things happening. Things were afoot. Number one, when did we find out that there's going to be a 4-way race for Pete's seat in Rehoboth, and some of our faves are coming back into the fold?
It's not officially 4-way right now. It's officially 3-way. Because okay. The Ernie Lopez thing is just a rumor, but yeah, we do have our good friend Kathy McGinnis back in the race.
So are you trying to tell me that the rumor is that Kathy McGinnis and Ernie Lopez are going to be running for the same seat against Claire and Marty Rendon?
It appears that might be the case. Though it seems like the rumor, from my understanding of it, is essentially that Pete is not a big fan of Marty Rendon or Claire Snyder-Hall, obviously. And was desperately looking for anybody who is more aligned with his way of thinking, let's say. And
is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
His brand of being bright red at all times.
Yeah. His brand of looking like a huge Virginia baked ham.
Yeah. So it seemed like Ernie Lopez might have been one of those outlets because there was a text that went out that had Ernie Lopez's name in it. But it seems like, you know, why go for the rest when you can go with the best? And so I think Kathy was waiting until this this court case, which, I mean, maybe we could talk a little bit about. I mean, we've done enough on this already, but Kathy McGinnis is not being retried for her second misdemeanor because who gives a shit? And so I think that was sort of the last straw for her being willing to get in.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I knew that this was what she was waiting for, but... So basically, she's a one misdemeanor sticks running anyway. That's the situation. I guess my thought, and Bill, you're just as involved in this as I am, unfortunately. Like it wasn't the and again, I'm not surprised that she doesn't understand this, but the official verdicts were not like the issue here ever. No. And so like she could have been acquitted. And, like, everybody who thinks, you know, that she's not good still thinks that. You know what I mean? So I don't know what this official thing is going to do for her, especially but again, maybe in a multi-candidate race, it gives her the opportunity to slide in there with just a few votes. I don't know. Is that, I guess that's the logic in this?
I don't know. I mean, I famously completely botched the 2022 election prediction. Like, I thought that the auditor's race would be much closer than it was.
Oh, yeah, we all completely.
Because I think, I still just don't know how to gauge the electorate in this state, because we just don't have same mass media as, like, a Philadelphia does.
Yeah, no one really knows what's going on here.
You know, you have a lot of just, like, social media activity sometimes. I don't know. And it's the beach, and it's like, it's kind of a community that's just a little unfamiliar to me.
Yeah, I mean, I will say in the primary she still only got like 25-30% in the beach.
Oh, right.
Like, she did not do much better, if at all better, at the beach than she in RD14 than she did statewide
in the auditor primary.
In the auditor primary. So I think she probably has, so I think her theory of change, regardless of the misdemeanor, theory of change is maybe not the right.
I was about to say.
I didn't want to say. I'm always the one interrupting people.
Her theory, like,
her theory, her theory. She has no. She wants to be a thing. She wants to be a whatever.
She wants to be the honorable Kathy McGinnis. Yeah,
a lieutenant governor. She just wants to be something. Which, again, here's the thing.
Because that describes more than half the people down there.
Yeah, I mean, literally, probably 80% or more of the people who hold office in Dover are hold office for that very reason. So I think it is a little bit shitty to, like, judge her for it when everybody else feels it is basically doing the same thing for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know if we, how much we hit on this in the Kathy v. Kathy. I'm sure we did at least some point, but, like, Kathy is the perfect distillation of the Delaware way, as I think we understand it, which is purely vapid, purely relational,
transactional,
supports corporate stuff, not out of any sort of deep-seated belief in this or that being the best option, but simply because that's what you do. Because right. Totally. She was one of those people who supported, went back when she was Rehoboth Beach commissioner, she supported the whole LLCs getting to vote in Rehoboth thing. So, yeah, she is just the perfect distillation, and that's why she won in 2018, because she got all this support from people who were simply just like, well, how bad could it be, essentially? It's like, oh, she, you know, I know her. She shows up. She's very nice. She's been around a while, basically, kind of.
Well, it's interesting because her issue, really, was that she ran and won an office that she actually had to, like, run an office.
Yeah, an actual executive. Like, if she was a legislator, she would have gotten away with it.
Yeah, I mean, totally, legislators can just totally be, like, just ciphers.
Yeah.
You know, just, you show up, you cut the ribbon, you show up at the beach, you do the thing, and you just do what you're told. Or you do what's expected of you.
Yeah.
And you just toe the line, basically.
Because even if you don't do the basic stuff of constituent services, responding to emails, you have another legislator that you overlap with that they can take that on, which is something that we've seen a lot with, you know, if we have a senator that's really bad, it's usually their rep ends up taking that work or vice versa. So you don't have to do anything, really.
And the other thing, it's like, it's a fancy beach district. Like, what do they expect of her? Like, they know how to get shit done without having to call, like, to get a pothole filled.
Yeah, most of the issues they have are going to be things that the county deals with anyways.
Yeah, or, like, the town commissioner.
Which, for any of these, like, suburban wealthy districts, that is the case anyways. It's all like, oh, I need to get my drainage ditch fixed or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's...
And, you know, it's not a fake issue in the sense that, you know, you want to get that fixed, but it's not an issue that a legislator really needs to be plugged in to get done.
Yeah, I will say, you know, in the coming weeks, we are going to be featuring a few candidates, because I'm just interested in them as people and sort of why they are interested in seeking the office they're seeking. I mean, I could be real clear. So tomorrow, and it'll probably be in a week or two, it'll come out. We're going to be speaking with Val Gould. They are running for the Newcastle County Council president. I think we're also probably in a month or so's time going to be speaking with Colin O'Mara. And again, from an idea of, like, the gubernatorial race, I mean, we talked to Matt. I would talk to Bethany if she would come in. Bethany's on, like, a complete, like, media blackout, right? So, like, I don't know what – I guess she thinks she can just ride or die and not have to speak to anybody ever again? I mean, has she spoken to anyone? She hasn't even given comment, like, you know, Matt does this. She doesn't comment. She hasn't commented really on anything, really. Right?
Yeah, and I think all of, you know, the stories involving the treasurer's kind of mishaps on her campaign, I feel like her campaign's responses have been disingenuous at best, or sort of like distracting from the issues at hand. Basically, just saying, "No, we fixed." It's like that line in Office Space, like, "We fixed the glitch."
Yeah, we fixed the glitch.
Milton, he just lives in the basement now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'd love to have her on though.
Yeah, come on. I mean, look, I have a lot of opinions, and I'm going to ask questions you're not going to answer. That's fine. But there's also things that I'm very interested in. Obviously, Nurse Susan is a nurse. Bethany is a nurse. Nurse Susan's big into public health. She worked in public health for a very long time. And so there's other stuff to talk about. But yeah, this state's so fucking weird. We were down in New Orleans, and this is not just public information. Nurse Susan is Val's treasurer. And I guess because...
not Val Longhurst.
Right, Val
Gold. Actually, both.
So Susan, I guess, is like getting kind of back into it because she doesn't follow any of this stuff. She doesn't know any of this stuff. So we're just, I think we were waiting to go out in New Orleans, and Susan's like, "What's this? I'm on Delaware Liberal," and so I'm like, "Don't go on there." No. It's just like there's literally nothing going on in this state that's worth following. And from a political standpoint, I know Working Families Party's doing making some moves and doing what they need to do, but there's no, I don't see a lot of excitement, even like for people that I like Nick Beard is good. I will say that, you know, there are good candidates out there that I'm like, hey, that's a good candidate. But you know, nobody that's like, there's no Medinas. There's nobody, you know, all of the other people who I thought were good turned out to be shit. So, like, I don't know. I'm just not going to, I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe again.
Yeah, I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush. I think there's some really exciting races to look forward to. It's a good reminder for me to change my voter registration back to D eventually. But
by May 25th?
Yeah, it comes faster than you think. I will say, though, a lot of the campaigns that I have, like, signed up for emails just to kind of keep in the loop, it's a lot of kind of, like, sign up for our virtual phone bank BS. Like, there's not a lot of, like, what I would call campaign or base building, or it's kind of just going through the motions of running a political campaign. And that's not, in my opinion, not particularly exciting.
Yeah. I mean, which ones, like, it's interesting you said that, because I'm registered Working Families Party. And so I've been thinking, like, the last couple of weeks, like, do I want to re-register? Do I even care to vote in the primary? And I think the answer is no, I don't. But I could be talked out of it, I guess. I mean, if you have a rep or a person in your district who is good, you know, I think you should vote for Claire if you're in Rehoboth. That's, you know, goes without saying. I think you should vote for Brendan Fletcher, if you can do that. But you know, I'm not in that situation. You know, I don't have that, so it's hard for me to say. Oh, I'm gonna you know, go ahead and vote in the Democratic primary just because I should, because I don't think that's true. Can you think of one person that you could defend to tell me to vote for?
John Carney for mayor.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Left is best. We'll talk to you later.
JSC. Yeah,
no, I mean, I would to be honest with you, if somebody talked me into voting for somebody, and if somebody said, hey, you know what, like, Meyer's better, you should take the time to vote for Meyer. Okay, I might be open to that. And if I got in the booth and voted for Meyer, I'd probably vote for Velda, just out of spite.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you know, that's what I would do, because I tell you what is interesting. There's a lot of people who are like, we would call them progressives, who I'm around a lot more because of the work that I'm doing now, and they do not understand where I'm coming from on this. Like, they're like, well, you're not going to do that. I'm like, absolutely not. Like, you're not just going to vote for Biden? No, not. First of all, we're in Delaware. If you're in Delaware, don't vote for Biden. You don't have to. It's ridiculous. It was funny. I was talking to my dad yesterday. He was like, he lives in Pennsylvania. He's like, I feel like I have to. I was like, well, that's cool. I said, I understand that. I understand. But, I mean, I'm not. There's no point. It's not going to change anything. Nothing I'm going to do is going to change anything as far as I'm concerned. I don't even think, although I keep going back to Meyer, although I think Meyer is marginally better. And I'm willing to listen to Colin O'Mara. I don't want to give too much away. But, like, you know, the rumor on the street is he just mesmerized the Working Families Party board. I mean, he was just saying all the right things. Which, again,
did Nurse Susan read that on Delaware Liberal?
No, I actually did. But I had heard about it before.
Yeah.
Well, because here,
which I want to be clear about that comment. I have no idea who the hell that was, and well, I do not think they were on the board.
Right. But here's what I'll say though. Here, and
you speak to any official Working Families Party endorsements until April 29th.
Right. So
2024.
But here's what I'll say. You would know one way or the other, like, because here's what I'll say. I heard that rumor before I read it on the line. And it's not like I heard the rumor. I shouldn't say that. I heard people who I know are sort of heavily involved with the Working Families Party process, and not you, Carl, actually, other people, who basically were like, well, what about Colin O'Mara? Around the time we dropped the Matt Meyer
episode,
they were like, well, what about Colin O'Mara? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? First of all, he hadn't even done anything yet. And then I'm just like, why are you saying that? Like, and this is somebody who I kind of respected, does a lot of work, Families Party, all this stuff. And I heard it from a couple of different people. So I was like, he must have really licked some assholes in this fucking Zoom call. Because, I mean, here's a guy, and I'm interested, I want to hear what he has to say. I wouldn't mind getting my asshole licked. I mean, you know, I'm as sensitive as the next guy. But I don't get it. I don't get, like, how...
Just keep that activity away from your eye, please,
yes,
for the next few weeks.
There's a
place you do not want germs.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah, so I just don't understand. I don't understand what the hell's going on in this state. You know, John Carney's running for mayor. People, you know, like leftist, like, socialists, democratic socialists, and other kinds of socialists like I am, are telling me Colin O'Mara's good. Like, I feel like every day I get less and less interested in this nonsense. But we'll shift topics a little bit, because we do have a lot of guests coming up that I think are going to be interesting topics. As you guys know, there are two bills in the legislature to finally, once and for all, abolish the death penalty in Delaware. We're going to have an advocate on death penalty abolition come in a couple of weeks. That's going to be very interesting. There's going to be a day of housing in May in Legge Hall. Again, I'm not real keen on, like, these days of lobbying days, but I'm such a big supporter in anything that can bring sort of attention to the housing issue. So I'm going to be speaking with some people from the Delaware Housing Alliance. We're going to be speaking with a professor from the University of Arizona who wrote a book about police training. It's really interesting. She did field work at police academies in the South, and I think it's a lot of very interesting information for people who are working with me on police reform. I think people talk a lot about training and more training and de-escalation training, and we're gonna unpack that a little bit with someone who's done some sociological research and field work in that. So we do have a lot of cool stuff coming up, but I think we're segging away from you know, the purely sort of political campaign stuff, because for the most part I'm not interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you did say you're probably gonna Bill are gonna change your party affiliation to vote.
Well, I'll consider it. I think I ran into an issue 2 years ago where I did not change. And then we had a great candidate in my RD1, Sinead Darby, who I couldn't really vote for. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not feeling the pull. I'm not feeling compelled. I think I'm like you. I'm not really getting fired up by a lot of electoral activity here. Maybe I'm nostalgic for, you know, previous years, but that's my problem. And, you know, I think I give anyone who like is passionate about their run and their community, keep doing what you're doing. You know, we need more people like Brandon and Nick and, you know, less like the opposition that's in the General Assembly right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are people that are going to do good stuff. And I said, Claire, and I include her in it too. If you can vote for Claire, I do think, but the one thing I will say though, is I'm not going to get my sort of my hopes up that people are going to do the things that I think they're going to do, or they kind of hint that they're going to do. And not just because I don't think they're going to do them. I don't think that there's an institutional sort of systemic, I still think that there are obstacles in the way of doing this stuff. I mean, some of the people that, you know, we've supported and helped in the past are complete sellouts and just worthless. If you think I'm talking about you, again, yes, I am talking about you. So I do think that the institutional obstacles are still going to be there for people like Claire and Nick. But hey, the more people, the better. I'm not against it. I just don't see, for me, you know, I can't vote for those people, you know. And if I could, I probably would, but it's not in the cards. And everything else is, you know, we've kind of beat the Sarah and Eugene thing to death. I feel worse about that just because Eugene's my friend than I do about the Carney Velda thing. But they're both just as bad. It's just a joke. Like, you're not getting anything out of it. Like, it's a complete joke. I mean, is there any real difference between, well, there's a little bit of a difference, but maybe we can unpack that, between Sarah McBride and Kathy McGinnis? It's just vanity. Like, Grant, you got a bunch of endorsements. What are you going to do, though?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to turn the knob. You're going to do neoliberal shit. Turn the knob on this. Oh, these extra, you know, 2% extra people get another dollar. Yes, that's good. I'm not going to say that they shouldn't. I'm just saying that, like, this is not systemic change. This is just, you know, throwing somebody a dime. You know, you say a lot of, like, yeah, you can support codifying Roe. Guess what? Good for you. Like, that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, you're throwing someone a dime, but then that campaign is also throwing a Washington, D.C. consultant, I don't know, $50,000. Like, which is being paid to a Washington, D.C. landlord. So it's great. That campaign is doing wonders for like 20 or 30 people.
Yeah, people are definitely making tons of money off of that. And they'll continue to. As if you've seen any of the numbers, you'll know that operation's got legs.
It's killing it, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about that? You're a big like campaign. You understand the machinations and the ins and outs of the campaign. That's a lot of fucking dough.
Carl, a lot of money. You're a politics guy, right?
Yeah, I dabble.
You dabble in the thing. That's,
yeah, I can confirm. It's a decent amount of money,
especially for here. Like, what are you going to do with that stuff?
Run a lot of ads.
I
got to compete with Joe Biden and fucking Bob Casey.
Do you? I mean, does Sarah have to do that?
Well, in like Philadelphia TV market ads.
Does she have to run TV market ads in Philly to win? I don't think she has to,
but she's going to, because she has like $3 million.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there's no point in not spending some of it.
And then you win the primary, and then you get to be God's gift to the coordinated campaign for the Democratic Party.
One kind of cool use of campaign expenditure I saw recently was Marcus Henry put signs on DART, which was a Jess Skirain for Senate idea. It may have been vetoed by the campaign team. We were like, what are you doing? But Jess was like, I love the bus. But I thought that was kind of cool. It was like, it's a little unique for Delaware, I guess.
And he sent out a mailer in like February.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
Wild.
Wild stuff, Rob.
Wild, wacky stuff.
The politics beat.
Yeah. And again, you see stuff like I saw Meyer put out a post today where he went and did a like a confab with a bunch of like Sussex like I guess people who are into like just development, like land use people in Sussex. And they were like, although we didn't agree on everything, you know, we're trying to do, you know, the best for whatever. It's just such an empty statement. It doesn't mean anything. Like, do you want more development in Sussex or no? Just fucking say it. Or if not, I mean, that's the problem, right? They're taking old farms and they're building, you know, 105 housing units on them. You know, and then there's more traffic. You know, and they're building freaking retirement communities and townhomes and all of this stuff. Do you want to continue to do that or do you not want to continue to do that? Just say it. Like, take a fucking stand. Like, what do you want to do? I have this conversation now because of the kind of work that I'm doing, and we do more work with legislators. You know, it's just like, what do you believe in? What would you like to do? And really, the answer is not have anybody say anything bad about me.
Yeah, stay in office, collect the paycheck, get my 5 terms in or whatever it takes to get the pension, and
that's chill. It. Yeah, so, I mean...
They want to do what everybody with a job wants to do, which is as little as possible.
Right.
Unfortunately, their issue is that they are in elected office, and we're wanting them to do things.
Yeah, and I guess the thing is, like... Unlike other jobs, you actually have to debase yourself a bit to do this one. And you have to do it over time. Like, you have to beg people for money. You have to beg people to go out and vote for you. If you have to do all of this stuff, I would think that perhaps, you know, you would have an agenda of stuff like that you believed in that you wanted to do. But the thing that they believe in is just winning the popularity contest and then having everybody have to come to them and then be like, I don't know, maybe I'll help you, maybe I'll help you, maybe I'll help you, and then they just don't do anything. And it's just it's odd to me. It's odd to me that you would take a job that pays 40 fucking grand or whatever. I mean, I don't know what it pays. Does it
45, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. You're taking a job that pays 45 grand to go to have coffees with your fucking constituents and then not really do anything? And just so your name's on stuff? It's weird. It's very weird.
Carl, do you have a feeling like when we look back on the legislative session of 2024, what's the gist? What is there... Is there any sort of coherent message?
The main thing that people talked about is permit the purchase,
right?
Which I think we've talked about plenty in here, but that's the biggest thing so far. I can't really point to much else because we're also in this weird set where it's like we have a few weeks in January, but they didn't even go in half of January because like people got sick, and then there's just like a bunch of random reasons why they didn't. Oh, there was a snow day or two. Oh,
right, this was the reason why the permit to purchase bill did not
get went until March, and then they're out for all in February. Then they're in for a few weeks in March, and now they're on spring break, which is ending this week.
Spring break.
So like the times that they're actually going to get stuff done is theoretically going to be in like April and June for the most part. But you know the things that we've been talking about, you know, free school lunch, Ray Moore's bill. Earned sick time and safety leave, Eric Morrison's bill, and just like other things at that scope that, you know, are actually going to have real effects on people's lives. The issue is that those things cost money, and John Carney's certainly not going to do anything that costs money. And because he didn't do anything that costs money, Kim Williams, the new head of the Appropriations Committee, is not going to do anything. She was the only Democrat to vote against free school lunch in committee.
Imagine that. Imagine voting against... giving kids lunch.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Because they say there's going to be this big budget deficit, which there might be, but they said that last year too. And
it's a slippery
like, oh,
slope.
We
What's
found
next?
All the money.
Oh, it's
What's
it's,
next?
It's
free dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, what do we do? Well, I mean, look, these people got to send their kids to Sanford. I mean, Jesus yeah. Christ.
But it's like, you know, you have all this, this happened like a couple years in a row now, where they say in like March, like, oh, it's what is the name of the board that does this? The DFAC report. It says, oh, we're gonna have this huge deficit, so we got to kill all these like important bills in committee. Gets to June, we're actually refinancing the budget. It says, oh, actually, no, not as bad as we thought. We can just pass the budget as is. So I'm not saying that there's not going to be a deficit this year or that there's not going to be a deficit at all going forward. But you can only cry wolf so many times to kill all these important bills.
Well, apparently they can cry wolf every year and kill all the important
bills. Well, yeah, until we have different leadership.
Right. Smooth budget. Smooth brain, smooth budget. Here's what I will say. If John Carney is the mayor, I'm going to follow that guy around Wilmington and make his life absolutely hell. I'm going to see you everywhere, dude. And you think Przycki? Ask Przycki when I saw him. Now, I only did it when I happened to come across him. You know, and we stumbled across each other once in a while. You know, and I'd give him the business. I'd give him the business. But for you, I want to make special trips, I think. Be out there at the ribbon cuttings, asking you questions, calling you Governor Markell, Mayor Markell. I'll probably call you Mayor Markell. Oh yeah. Your life is going to be, and then anything you try to do, I'm going to flip right back on you, my friend, cuz you're weak. You're very weak, and you can take that square jaw and that stupid hat and that stupid shit-eating grin. And you can fuck right off. My eye hurts.
Rob's grumpy.
I am.
As he should be.
I'm extremely grumpy. Well, I missed the earthquake.
Yeah.
Did you feel the earthquake?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yep.
Did you feel the earthquake?
I felt the earthquake, yeah. House vibrated for a little bit. I was like, oh.
Yeah, we were in New Orleans, missed the earthquake. It rained like hell up here, apparently. Missed all that. Come back here. Now New Orleans is flooded out. Yeah, I think karma's paying me back for my good luck.
You went out with a bang.
Yeah, I really did. I really did. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm tired of it. It's just a game I'm tired of playing, and I'm not playing it anymore. Like, I'm not talking about, like, oh, it's, you know, what are you going to do? Oh, it's Codify Roe. Okay. Oh, it's great. Binomics. Oh, yeah, he's good. He's not. You know, it's just all, you know, fucking do something. You want to impress me? Fucking do something. You know, your messaging fucking stinks. You know, there's a genocide going on. Nobody gives a shit. You know, nobody really has a plan to fight for anything. They say things like, and again, I don't mean to pick on Sarah McBride, but it's a perfect example. They say all the right things. They go to all the right, they have all the right photos with all the right people, with all the right messaging. They get all the right endorsements from all the right groups and all the orgs. And, you know, she's going to be the first trans house member. That's great. You know what we're going to get? Probably two or three terms of Lisa Blunt Rochester, a big zero. Now, everybody likes Lisa because, again, her name's out there. You know, she's the person. She's the person in the seat. The only reason people like her is she's the person in the seat. She's never done the fucking thing. You're go back to Carl again. Carl, you're a political guy. What, if somebody said, Lisa Blunt Rochester, her big career highlight, the one thing she did that everybody remembers is what?
Well, I remember that when she went to Washington, we all went to Washington, which was pretty cool.
Did we?
Yeah. You went
I think
there.
She...
Yeah, you explained that what a class traitor was to her.
That was in Wilmington.
Oh, was that in Wilmington?
That was in Wilmington.
Well, you've been to Washington, though.
I have been to Washington.
Since 2016. So when she went to Washington, you went to Washington.
It's a good
we
point.
All did.
She's done two things in my book. I think she prayed away some enemies during the January 6th riot.
She lay on hands.
She was at a comedy show that Medina was participating
in. She was. And that was the last time I saw Ted Blunt was there.
Ted Blunt, that's right. And
shortly before his passing.
Yes, that's right.
He looked great, too.
Yeah.
They were
all laughing at these, in my opinion, pretty bad and offensive jokes making fun of homeless people.
Yes, there were some hack comics at Theater N that were making some homeless jokes, which, again, I'm not going to cancel anybody. We're not looking to cancel anybody here. Let's be very clear.
Theater and comedy show.
They're just not funny, and yeah. She was laughing way too hard at hack jokes. Yeah. But again, this kind of proves my
point. You got to represent your constituents. You got to hear them out.
It's fair. Again, Carl got us again.
Yeah.
But again, I'm tired of pretending that like we're supposed to like genuflect. Here's a good one. I think this happened while I was away. Our friend, editor-in-chief of Spotlight Delaware, Jake Owens, had a big sit-down with Senator Chris Coons. There's a picture of them. Chris Coons is in a terrible suit.
Oh, you know who took those photos, by the way? J Street Jr. Just give a shout-out to J Street Jr.
Okay, well,
I was like, I'd like to see him like doing other stuff.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's actually good.
Yeah.
And I read the you know, they didn't do it in interview form. They sort of wrote an article, and then they inserted sort of like his responses to stuff like in sections. Did you guys read this?
No, I saw the picture, and I X'd out.
You didn't miss anything. That's what I don't understand. Like, you just let him... Like, if you follow politics or you follow this stuff, you kind of know where Chris Coons stands. Guy's on TV, national TV, all the fucking time. Hey, that's Joe Biden's biggest Senate guy. Oh, Delaware, you know. Like, literally nothing new was gained from it. Now, again, I'm glad that Spotlight Delaware exists. Love Carl Baker's work. I think it's important that there's something else going on, just in general. So I got nothing bad to say about, like, the shop. But, like, and I know that they want to come on and be like, hey, we're new and we got this big sit-down with Chris Coons. But, like, you could have written that just from memory. You know, what was the point of sitting down with him to get to have him tell you the same shit he tells everybody all the time? I do not understand that. But, no, you didn't miss anything.
Well, I think we've been talking a lot about people who don't do things. I think maybe we can close it out by talking about a guy who did do something.
I'm ready.
We were talking about earlier, rest in peace, O.J. Simpson.
O.J.
Oh, the juice.
Prayers up to a real one.
Yeah, and I was telling you guys, it made me feel really old that I watched the verdict. What year was the verdict?
94? Yeah, pretty sure it was 1994.
The spring of 94, I would have been a sophomore, I think. Yeah. So I'm a sophomore. I take an exam at the Newark Hall on Academy Street. I take it real quick. Run over to the student services building right there on whatever that side street is. I forget. And I watched it on like a television inside the student services building with like 20 other people watch the verdict. And just, I remember thinking, like, this is the weirdest shit ever. What I didn't understand, like I was telling you guys, I didn't at that time have a full grasp of, like, this LAPD sort of, like, history. Which, again, when you watch videos of, you know, groups, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of black Los Angeles citizens cheering, and you're, like, confused, you know, just read, you know, Ghetto Side by Jill Leovi, I think is her name, or read anything about Daryl Gates. Speaking of police reform, you know, Daryl Gates, the guy who created the SWAT team, the guy who said, didn't he say chokeholds were okay on black people because their blood didn't, their veins?
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah, Daryl Gates, that, yeah. LA police chief. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Black people's veins were different or something, so you could choke them out different. Like, when you get the full story, you're like, okay, yeah, okay, I can see why you cheered at. Now, the guy, Dick, cut his ex-wife's head off. But I understand, it took me a long time to sort of, like, reckon with what was really happening there.
Right.
Like, I'm like, okay, this guy used to play for the Bills, was a running back, killed these people.
Was in movies with Leslie Nielsen.
Yes, was in the Naked Gun movies. Yep. Did the Hertz in the airport, jumped over the thing in the airport. And so, like, why is everybody happy that he killed these people and got away with it? And then, you know, over time, when you start learning, you're like, oh, that's why. That actually makes more sense. So, yeah, OJ turned out to be, you know, the terrible person that we all thought he would be. you know, he still went to prison for that. Like he tried to get like some sports memorabilia back.
God,
he pulled
right.
a gun on somebody or something.
Yeah.
Remember? So he still went to prison for that.
Yep. I feel like he spent a lot of time in Las Vegas.
I guess he was just gambling and signing stuff. I mean, that's how he made money, I guess.
I mean, it's an honest profession as any.
I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the trial. I was trying to explain this to a slightly younger coworker today about how like, just how all-encompassing the trial was as like a collective mass moment within the United States. Like, we don't have this sort of shared mass media consumption habits, I guess. Like, where the, like...
Basically just the eclipse now.
The eclipse was something very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, random story, there's like a woman from Delaware who's on like American Idol at the moment. Like, that would be in 1999. That would be something that you would be talking about with your... acquaintances and family like multiple times during the week, like just that kind of shit you'd talk about, because we were sort of experiencing culture through the same lens, through the same channels. And I think OJ
literally
was great
channels.
Literally 3, 6 and 10. But like OJ, I remember it became, I mean, it's kind of a terrible story, but then like immediately Saturday Night Live makes it so like you can kind of laugh about it. You know, there's a dancing Judge Ito all of a sudden, and it's like, I'm 10 years old. I'm like, this is hysterical. I also am not familiar with the LAPD's history of like rampant violence, Rodney King beating, things like that, which I think one of the OJ documentaries, either ESPN or HBO or someone did one 5 or 6 years ago that I know put that context at like the first episode, which I thought was very helpful to sort of a new generation of people learning about this.
Yeah. See, now I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember when the Rodney King thing happened because it was caught on like camcorder. Guy just had a new fucking camcorder, probably had it on his shoulder and shit with a tape in it. And it was a big thing. And I remember... my uncle, one of my uncles, this will come as a huge surprise to everybody with uncles, is a huge reactionary guy. I remember him, there was a big argument on a holiday, and my grandparents, and my dad, and my grandma, grandpa, everybody. And my uncle was literally on the ground, like pretending he was hogtied, and said, if you just do this, you won't get beat. And I'm like, that's weird. I still remember, it sticks in my brain how weird it was. But I remember when that happened, and of course the subsequent, uprising when the cops were acquitted, and so that was I must have been very young, but that whole history is terrible, and so there was a lot more going on there than just that. But I think what you said is the most important thing, and people kind of, there's no real way to describe it other than, you know, without internet and without these algorithms, you just got what you got. Like the editors and the TV stations that did news, that's what you got. There was no, you couldn't really, you could search out like magazines and stuff and you could still, you know, branch out into like the stuff that you consumed, but it wasn't fed to you through algorithms. So we're all, whatever the big story was, we're all in it. Like, and this was a months and months and months long trial of like the greatest NFL player that there ever was. So it was really something.
Yeah. And I think I can speak to my age here now, which is I was born after all of this happened. And so my, other than just vague cultural awareness of it being a thing, and then also anytime you watch anything from the 90s, there was any episodic TV show from the 90s had to have a O.J. Simpson trial reference in it at least 2 or 3 times. So, you know, there was, I think, at least 2 or 3, at least 2 Seinfeld episodes that made direct references with the White Bronco chase and with something else. And then the lawyer near the end is based
basically
heavily
Jackie
on,
Giles.
Johnny
Cochran.
It's just Johnny Cochran.
Right. Well, that's the other thing too, as people know, if older people will know, the Bronco chase interrupted an incredible NBA playoff.
That's my dad's main thing with it, because it was a Rockets game.
First time I
Rockets
ever saw
Knicks finals.
And my dad was a big Rockets fan, and he's still mad to this day about the
they cut
the
in.
Bronco chase.
Yeah, they cut in. Al Cowlings, he's like, I got OJ in the car.
I think they had a sign up that just said AC in here or something like that.
It was wild.
But I remember that when you were like ESPN broke away to The Chase, I think that was the first time on like a non-CNN type network I ever saw something like that.
Yeah, and of course with the time change, you know, people saw it and could run out. And so the helicopter's up there, but then on the overpasses of the highway, it was like, run, OJ, run, free OJ.
Yeah.
You know, people were out on the highways with, like, bed sheets with, like, homemade signs and stuff. It was really, I mean, because of the way that the media is, I don't think we'll ever, and nothing like that will ever happen again. Because even if something happened on the internet that's an internet sensation, like, I don't know, fucking Elon Musk does something.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a huge group of sort of like older people or people who aren't like habitually online like that that don't care. Like, they'll find out in the paper tomorrow.
Oh, Harambe, who?
Yeah, they won't care about that. Like, that's the other thing too, is you gotta remember, like, us old people, we're still out there, and some of us aren't even on the internet that much. I am, but like other people aren't. Like, I get sometimes you're talking to people and you're like, yeah, I heard it on Chapo. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Chapo? Like, it's on Twitter. Twitter? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, they don't know any of this stuff. Like, people get sucked into that. Like, it's a big, like, they get in arguments about different, like, Twitter celebrities or, like, different commenters online. Like, oh, this person's bad. This person's good. They're actually nothing. It's a big nothing. You know, most of the people in the country have no idea who that is. And so, yeah, the OJ thing, I can't imagine it ever, anything else being like that. Even Trump stuff, like, I don't know, it's not the same. He was president. So I guess, I guess that was why he sort of interjected himself, into it. But yeah.
Yeah, like, we weren't collectively holding our breath. Like, we've seen that scene of him going down the escalator a million times, but I don't think we were all at home watching it live.
No, it was something that you were aware of within a day or two, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even then, we were just like, oh, man, that's fucking weird.
And it's funny, because the people who are following, like, the Trump trials or whatever, like, that's the other thing. I'll knock it, whatever. Like, if you go on like the Delaware liberal blog or some of these old, like, they're like following, they're like, oh, this person, he has to pay the money, and then he doesn't pay the money. What about his other trial for the other thing? I have no idea. I literally
checkmate.
You could tell me that Trump's on trial for this or that or the other. I know zero about it. I don't know what he's on trial for. I know, like, he defamed somebody because I guess he was found that he, I guess in a civil trial that he did something and then he defamed them and he owes money. And then there's this other trial where he said, like, or like he said Mar-a-Lago was worth $70 bazillion and it was like just to inflate. Like, I know the stuff is happening, but like, number one, I don't care. I don't think it matters. Actually, I know it doesn't matter. People want it to matter because they don't like it, but that's just tough shit. And so, like, I don't care. And so I know people are sort of following that kind of stuff, like a sort of like a criminal justice sort of like trial stuff because it's Trump. But like, I don't care. I just don't. I don't see there being a way to. I don't see there ever being anything again where you could walk up to literally anybody and ask them, you know, a general question. And then being able to answer it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could.
Other than the eclipse.
But even then, I think there's like weird eclipse discourse that some people in their algorithm are getting like just false information.
Potentially. But like, it's the last thing that I've been able to do in quite a while where I was just literally walking around. Yeah. So I went over to you and Jess chat, and Jess was like, showed a picture of her in the glasses. Like, I would like the glasses. And so I was in the area, so I just walked over. And it was the kind of thing where you could just walk in, literally anybody on the street, you could just go and just talk to them.
That's true. Yeah.
And that was what they were talking about, which that is a unique experience that I
yeah.
enjoyed a
it
lot.
It is really rad, just like to feel united in that moment.
But,
yeah.
you know,
like,
it's,
with everyone.
It's an eclipse that lasts for an hour and a half and not a trial that lasts for however many months.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I think maybe like the Super Bowl, like stuff like that, like people.
Yeah.
But this was a different thing because it lasted so long. It was a story that people followed. You know, it's like Marsha Clark changed her hairstyle. The whole country went fucking crazy. You know, it was something.
Yeah. Maybe things are a little bit better in that particular regard.
With the media or just with the...
I don't know. We're stupid in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think it's better because if you're savvy, there's more ways to get information.
Yeah, if you're savvy, it's way better.
If you're savvy, it's way better, right. Because, as I said, I do think that there's something to be said for this idea that it was very difficult to get any sort of news or information that wasn't filtered through, you know, some news executive or publisher at the news journal or whatever, or on the radio, you know. So everybody was kind of getting the same stuff. And now you can go and find legitimate stuff. Like, you can't say, well, it didn't come from the New York Times, so it's not true. Like, you can, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. So that part is actually good. But the problem is that people really aren't savvy about that stuff.
And all that stuff is drowned out with so much shit.
Yeah, it's just mired in the most toxic garbage and misinformation, AI, fucking bots, fucking nudes in bio, bullshit that we can't, nobody can make heads or tails of it.
Yep. Well, it's funny because that's in terms of like different sources of information, my introduction to the O.J. Simpson trial in earnest was the You're Wrong About podcast, which does like history, like retelling sort of scandals that happened in like the 80s, 90s, other stuff like that. They talk about like Satanic Panic, very celebrity, like Tanya Harding sort of stuff.
Why me?
So like the malign women's of the 90s is sort of their general theme, even though that's not all they do.
Yeah.
And it is very interesting to see it get told from that perspective because they start like going through all the different characters. And so the first two episodes are about Nicole Brown Simpson and like what was her actual story, which seemed to not really be that big a part of the trial. And the fact that like a woman got almost beheaded seemed to be so just the different interpretations, like if people do the work, that is something that is available now. But
I mean, back in the day, because that was the story, like I was a big Stern guy and that was what you heard. Literally somebody called up. This is on the internet. During the chase, the chase ends. They're in Brentwood, and the Nightline is on, or maybe not Nightline. Something I think it might have been Nightline, and it was either Peter Jennings or Sam Donaldson, somebody on NBC. And they're talking. They get a call. Oh, we got somebody there. We got somebody at Brentwood at the house. There's a big crowd gathered. The cops are there. They're gonna arrest OJ.
Just going to ask everybody to be quiet for a moment. We have on the phone with us as well Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
How are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite the tensest.
What can you see?
Oh, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van and I see OJ kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, looking here, he looked very upset. I don't know what he's going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
He is just sitting around, you know, just looking like he'd be very nervous.
Can you hear anything, Mr. Higgins?
It's just too much commotion. I'd be in the back of a news van, so I can't really hear that good, but I can see it all. And I see OJ. I see OJ, man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And baba booey to y'all.
And the best is, he does all of this, right? And Peter, whoever the anchor was just like, okay, thanks a lot. And then out of nowhere, like sort of like Carl from the balcony, you just hear Al Michaels, who's like another ABC sports guy. He's like,
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call. Lest anybody think that was somebody who was truly across the street. That was not. He said something in code at the end that's indicative of the mentioning of the name of a certain radio talk show host.
Okay, thanks, Al.
So he was not there.
All right, we have them on every coast. Thank you very much. Not the first time nor the last time we'll have been had, but...
So you had to tell him that it wasn't him. It was fucking incredible, man. Well, folks, that's enough for you today. I'm glad you sat with us. I'm sorry that was we just kind of did a fun one for you. I'm not feeling the best, but we have a huge slate of stuff that, you know, some of the stuff that we discussed earlier. I really want to say thank you to all of our patrons. I got a new patron today. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll get back to you next week with something even more fun, even more informative. And, last thing, everybody, Eid Mubarak to everybody celebrating, because it's Eid Defer, Ramadan is over, everybody celebrating Ramadan. I hope you had a spiritual month, and I hope we free Palestine soon. Left is best.